And verse 12, the weapon of the word. Amen. And it's a powerful weapon.
Yes.
Hebrews 4 and 12. If you wouldn't mind standing again, we would just want to take a look at this verse as a beginning of the weapon of the word. Because we're talking about spiritual warfare. And obviously we need weapons.
Yes.
Or we're going to get slaughtered.
Yeah.
But God has given us the means to obtain victory. Prayer and fasting and believing the Lord. Thank God for a good report.
Yes.
Amen. And there's even more that the Lord desires to do. Here's what it says. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, I would doubt that a sword could be that divisive. Certainly a scalpel couldn't, and much less a sword, unless it's the word of God. Then the word of the Lord is able to do this work because it's alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective, according to the Amplified. Moreover, the Amplified goes on, exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of the heart. Amen. That's why we need to stay in the Word of God. Amen. Because every one of you has a heart, and it needs to have the Word of God examine the thoughts and intents of your heart. You know why? Jeremiah 17:9 definitely applies today, just as it did in Jeremiah's time. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. And who can know it? God does. Amen. The Lord does. You may be seated. Alive and full of power. I'm thankful that's the weapon of the Word. The Word of God is a chain breaker.
Yes.
It's a sin killer.
Yes.
Praise God. Amen. Now, we don't use that sword, we don't use that word on one another or in the efforts of telling others about the Bible. We use it against our enemy. And because the word brought us to the Lord, it will continue the work that God desires to do. And you and I have to make sure we let the complete work of redemption continue in our lives by staying in the Word of God, making sure we are abiding in that Word, because the sword of the Spirit, Ephesians 6:17, lets us know the Spirit has a sword. And that sword is the Word of God. It's the Spirit that quickens the Word to your heart for defense. The devil's slamming you. The devil has backed you into a corner. The devil is trying to work you over. And the Spirit of God brings a word to your remembrance, and you begin to pray that word.
Yes.
Amen. Lord, you've delivered me from darkness. Lord, you translated me into the kingdom of your Son. Lord, I thank you for that deliverance. I thank you for that power. Amen. You pray that word and believe that God is going to again fulfill his word. And then when you're in a battle for souls, and when you're fighting against darkness of deception and deceit, and when you're trying to bring people into an understanding and an awareness of the word of God, the Spirit of the Lord will anoint you. Praise God. And what a thrilling feeling that is, to be sitting in someone's kitchen or someone's living room, and you're discussing the word of the Lord, and the anointing comes upon you, and the scriptures just begin to flow. Praise God. And the power of the Lord works through you to destroy the deception of the devil. I'm thankful that John saw the Lord with a sharp two-edged sword coming out of his mouth. Now, that's a figurative demonstration of the word, the powerful word that the Lord demonstrates. And going on in Revelation to chapter 19, with that sword, he wins victory. Final victory, complete victory. Praise God. Three times in the word of the Lord, sword is mentioned as the word of God. It definitely is a weapon. And thank God it can minister to us individually, and we can use that sword, that word, to minister to others. Look at Proverbs 6:22. Here's a passage from the word of God that describes what the word of the Lord can do to you and for you. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it will keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. The talking word. In other words, it's going to speak to you. It's going to direct you. It's going to guide you. Thank God for the leadership, the protection, the direction that we get from the word of the Lord, because we desperately need it in this hour that has so many opinions, so many philosophies, so many ideas, so many religions. We need to know what the word of God says. And thank the Lord there are personal promises that we can grab a hold of and make that promise yours. There's no expiration date. Amen. That expired. You go to the store with a coupon. Oh, sorry, that one expired last month. You know the drill. You try to take advantage of a coupon or a sale or something, and that's over with, an expiration. No such thing in the Word of God. Those promises are alive and real, and they are guideposts for daily principles of living, so that we can stay on the path that guides us and leads us into His presence again and again. He leads me, the psalmist said, in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Praise God. And so we recognize how effective and how powerful the Word of God is. We study the Scriptures because the effort is needed to grow in grace and become more like Him. Amen. There's buried treasure in the Word of God, divine treasures buried in this book. And when you find them, they'll produce comfort, they'll produce strength, they'll produce wisdom. The more you dig and search, guess what? The more you find. Amen. There's more that's there. And the Lord will bless and provide for you. It will clarify your vision. It will correct your judgment. It will purify your ambitions. And in that process, become more like Him. Praise God. It's a priceless treasure, the Word of God. Amen. There's still the bestseller. Still the first book that was printed. And the power of God is continuing in that Word. A wonderful, priceless treasure. Because it's good news. No wonder Paul would definitively declare, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And he went on to describe why he wasn't ashamed. It is the power of God unto salvation to them that believe. Praise God. Amen. No wonder he was not ashamed of it, because it had such power to change people's lives. It had such power to bring them out of darkness into His marvelous light. It had such power to bring salvation that could not be denied. Amen. Many gifts told of in the Word of God, but the greatest is salvation. That's the one we've got to get a hold of more than any other. I've got to be saved. Amen. The book of divine revelation reveals God's plan of redemption. And that plan of redemption unfolds right from the very beginning. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, the promise of the Messiah and what he would be able to do and what he'd be able to accomplish. And then the figure of the innocent being slain for the sinner, and blood being shed when Adam and Eve had to be clothed with animal skins because fig leaf aprons were far, far inadequate. And the Lord then displaying his plan of redemption in a demonstration of what was going to happen upon the cross. The innocent slain for the wicked, blood being shed, because God's plan of redemption includes love and mercy.
Yes.
Praise God. Sin and justice are dealt with, to be sure. The Lord didn't take a shortcut. The Lord didn't fall down and worship the devil when he offered all the kingdoms. All this will I give you. And somehow, some way, the devil was able to display what was available in the world and what could be given to the Lord if he took a shortcut. But the Lord didn't. Sin and justice had to be dealt with. And because he did, we have salvation and we have stability to go with that. Praise God. Aren't you glad the foundation is solid?
Yes.
Amen. Thank God it's established. Not something you have to worry about and say, oh, I don't know, it's been here for 2,000 years. I don't know. It probably needs to be shored up. It probably needs to be replaced. It probably needs to be corrected and fixed here and there. Oh, no. Just the application of that foundation needs to be applied. And thank God we can find that blessing in the power of the Lord. The Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. It's got some hidden secrets there. There are prophecies that those who wrote about wondered, when is this going to happen? How is it going to happen? They wrote about Messiah, and every generation looked for the coming of Messiah. They wondered about the words of Isaiah, a virgin shall conceive, and unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. What? A son? A child? How can that be? But they looked for that Messiah, and it was concealed within the pages of the Old Testament. But the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. It shows how it came to pass. It shows the fulfillment of prophecy after prophecy.
Yeah.
Amen. And thank God for the accuracy of those prophecies, because that gives me confidence in this word. It's not happenstance. It's not coincidence. It's not just, oh, wow, that's neat how that fell together. No, there's more and more and more that you can find in fulfillment of the word of God. Let your confidence rise, amen, in knowing how powerful this word is and how wonderful it was fulfilled in the plan of God, and certainly how salvation is what the Lord desired to display. John ended his gospel by writing these words: there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one. Now, John only included seven miracles. Seven out of hundreds, thousands that he did. And for whatever reason, he limited the account to seven. The other Gospels include more. But we note that John had a purpose from chapter 13 on. It's basically the last week of the Lord's life. So a good number of those chapters just wrap up the last few days. So he's saying, if everything that Jesus did was written about, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Then he says, amen. Praise God. Oh, my. Aren't we going to have some questions when we get on the other side? Aren't we going to have fun finding out? Praise God. Who else was healed? Who else was delivered? Who else was resurrected? Praise God, because of the power of the Lord. So what a collection. 66 books and 40 plus authors, over 1,500 years. Imagine if you took writers, renowned writers, philosophers, whoever, Socrates, Aristotle, whoever you would like to choose, and from each century, the last 15, you would select one somehow and invite them to write. How cohesive would their themes be? How collective would their thoughts be? More than likely, it'd be scattered all over the place. Well, if we did that even among today's journalists, sat them down in a room, I'd be afraid of what they'd write, actually. I don't know how close to the truth they'd get. Oh, my. But this truth, amen, is what we can put our trust in. It's good to spend time in the Word. I know you do. I know it. You do. You flip through and you find your favorite passages. You read Psalm 23 again. You read Romans 8 again, and different ones that you know we enjoy reading. It's good to immerse yourself in a reading program. It's good to get on board with the BREAD program. BREAD standing for Bible Reading Enriches Any Day. And we still have the programs there in the back if you'd like to get started on it. Reading through the Bible in different translations. There are programs on your computer. There are books that you can order. There are plans that you can buy. It's a good discipline to read through the Bible every year. And I enjoy reading the different translations. I come back to the Authorized Version, but it's interesting to get the different terminology or the different perspective a little bit sometimes in what is written. And introducing someone to the Scripture and they've not read before, encourage them to read the book of Acts and the early church. And then into the Gospels, Mark and Matthew, Luke and John. And that's not the order that's in the Word, but that's a good order to follow, because Mark was writing to just the ordinary individual. Matthew was writing to the Hebrews. That's why he quoted Scripture so much. Luke was writing to the Greeks. That's why he would include his background as a physician. John was writing to those who needed to hear that he is the Logos. And he used Greek and Hebrew thinking there in his presentation as well. But Mark was just ordinary. understand what I mean when I say ordinary. It's definitely extraordinary. Amen. But powerful. Then the biographies of Abraham and Joseph and Moses and David and so on, the ones that are primary in the Scripture and stand out probably when you think about the Word of God. Use a concordance. My goodness, the computer programs are amazing. ChristNotes.com is one. BibleGateway.com is another one. And they can help you find a phrase or a word or a passage, and you can copy and paste, and it's awesome. Maybe you've got some that you've tried. What are some of the others that you're aware of? Okay, it has Strong's Concordance in it. Say the site again. Okay. All right. And ChristNotes.com and BibleGateway.com are free also. It's just amazing how How much is available? PC study Bible is great. You have to pay for it. And these others are free. Obviously, they're giving you more than just a concordance. They're giving you volumes that you can look at. And so there's a great deal of that's available there. Any other programs? Any others that you have found that you can use? Somebody told me about Sword something, and I can't remember what it's called. Okay, say the name again. All right. So here are all these resources available for you on your computer or your device. And my, there's a wealth there. And a lot of them have a Bible reading program that you can follow. The scriptures are come up and you can follow them. So real helpful to be able to get a subject that you want to study. Faith, for example, and all the scriptures that have faith. Prayer, all the scriptures that have prayer. Unique to be able to follow through in that way. Brother Mike? Okay. Right, Brother Arlo Molenpah. Molenpah is kind of a... doing good, right. He's got a Bible reading plan. He's got quizzes to go with it. He's got games that you can play. Brother Molenpah is the one who teaches on creation versus evolution. A very, very knowledgeable man in the Word of God. He's very good. And so that would be a site that you can visit as well. But all of these resources available so that we can get into the Word even more. Amen. When you're shopping, when you're looking at news, when you're just examining sports or whatever site you may be looking at, hopefully good, wholesome sites, look at the Word of God. Amen. And they're very helpful. Underlining in the Word of God, there are some who have a hard time with that, especially if they spend $100 plus on the Bible, and that's about what you spend now on a good study Bible. But that's a good way to memorize. And I used to be real meticulous in getting a little ruler and underlining very straight and very careful. I can see it a whole lot better if I just do a squiggly line under it, freehand. And then I write a little note to myself out to the side, another passage or a thought that I had on that. And some people use a color code, use different colors for different themes. The Lord, for example, red, since his words are written in red. And then just any other number of things that you can identify in a color code. All very helpful means of studying the Word of God, because you need that sword to be sharp. Amen. And you've got to be able to use it. Okay. Brother Derek Seagraves wrote three volumes. They're available in one volume now. He's combined them all together. Hack Your Bible, a kind of an odd name, but it has to do with the computer stuff now too, and it's available on Amazon or through Brother Seagraves, I think, both as an ebook and as a hard copy. So all of these studies, these guides, these helps, these resources are very, very good. The scripture says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen. 2 Timothy 2:15. So, we're engaging in that study. We're applying ourselves in that study because the effort of discipleship is necessary. And just as important as 2 Timothy 2:15 is, 1 Timothy 4:16 is as well. And here it applies the aspect of doctrine to our study. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Praise God. There's going to be a ripple effect. Amen. It's going to start with you, and then it's going to move outward to those that hear you. And I hope you're testifying. I hope you're witnessing. I hope you're sharing the Word of God. Not to show knowledge or competency in the Word of the Lord. No, it's for the glory of the Lord. Amen. And in this taking heed to the doctrine and continuing in them, with meaning salvation for yourself and for those that you witness to, there are some themes of truth that you can note and then just use them in your short studies that you have with somebody, either in happenstance that you just happen to be talking to somebody and you invite them for a cup of coffee, you've got time, and you start sharing the Word of God with them. You know, Brother Farmer's study is very unique, but it's all Scripture. That's all it is, one Scripture after another. There's no magic formula. There's no amazing commentary. Nothing like that. It's just Scripture after Scripture. Brother Sanders in Hawaii sits in Starbucks, drinks a gallon of coffee. Lord, help him. But he sits down next to somebody, and he opens the Scripture, and he shows them, and he asks them, what does that mean to you? He doesn't even take the time initially to explain. He wants them to get into the Word. What does that mean to you? Then obviously, he's going to have time later on to put in what it really means. Praise God. So, make sure you have a simple plan that you can follow. And the needs of people, the needs of man. What is the greatest need of man? That's probably a good way to start. And how that the Lord will supply those needs. And man is a sinner. What's a scripture that you know right offhand that would verify that? Man is a sinner. So what scripture do you turn to show that? Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Coming short simply means you missed. You didn't hit the target. You missed the mark. And all of us are in that boat. So, we need something more. Romans 6:23. Sin is no laughing matter. The wages of sin is death. That's pretty drastic. Very serious. But the gift of God is eternal life through the Lord Jesus. Praise God. Romans 6:23. All right, repentance. And I'll just go through these here because we're running out of time. Repentance, Matthew 4:17. The Lord would speak that repentance, just as John the Baptist was very strong on that theme of repentance. Romans 2:4, the goodness of God leads you to repentance. The goodness of God that people feel and that they experience in the Word is not a stamp of approval that you can live like the devil on Saturday night and act like a saint on Sunday, and then Monday go back to living however you want. The goodness of God is not a stamp of approval. The goodness of God will lead you to repentance, because that opens the door to even more of the goodness of God. and the power of the Lord. 2 Peter 3:9, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Praise God. Baptism. Oh, my, my. You've got to be selective now. You can't choke the horse with a lot of feed. Be selective. Luke 24:47. Repentance and remission of sins be preached in his name, beginning at Jerusalem. And then naturally, Acts 2:38 would follow that, because remission is mentioned in his name. Praise God. And you link those together. And if you have time, you go to chapter 8, chapter 10, chapter 19, chapter 22, and on. Praise God. There's more and more that's there. The gift of the Holy Ghost. John 3:5. Born of the water. Born of the Spirit. Praise God. Born again. Nicodemus, a religious man, didn't get it. He didn't understand. A lot of people don't understand. And so you take the time to show them being born of the Spirit, the gift of the Holy Ghost. John 7:38-39, where the Lord said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And then John adds that parenthetical statement in verse 39. This spake he of the Spirit. He's explaining what it is. Praise God. And that's how you apply it. Acts chapter 10. Jesus went about doing good. That's probably where Brother Molenpaugh got the doinggood.com. Acts 10, Jesus went about doing good, and Peter is preaching, and the power of God is moving, and pretty soon the Spirit falls on all them which heard the word, and they heard them speak in tongues. Praise God. And they were surprised that God gave them the Holy Ghost, just like they received in Acts chapter 2. And then Peter commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Oh my, what an exciting thing to be able to use this sword to start cutting through tradition, cutting through unbelief, cutting through deception. Amen. And showing the power of God's word. One God. One God. Now, we're not trying to be divisive here. We're not trying to stab people. Now, that we do the devil that way. I like the sword that can cut and it can puncture, it can pierce, it can whack. Praise God. Do all of those things to the devil. But the word of God is to bring light. One God. Deuteronomy 6:4. We start off right there. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Amen. And then Isaiah 43:10-11. Ye are my witnesses, that you may know, that you believe, and you can understand that I am he, and beside me there is no God. I am thy Savior. Savior? Long before Bethlehem? Yeah, because they're one. Praise God. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Praise God. And again, this is one of those themes that you can go on. 1 Timothy 3:16. God was manifest in the flesh. And each of those phrases can only describe one individual. Seen of angels, justified in the Spirit, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in the glory. Who is that? Amen. There's only one. Jesus. Praise God. And as you're lifting up that name and your excitement and your enthusiasm about how powerful that name is, you begin to describe the healings that have taken place, the miracles that God has done, the redemption that he has brought to pass right here in Sterling. Praise God. And then in other places as well. Oh, how wonderful to hear reports from Brother Farmer, from Brother Glover, from everybody. Amen. North, south, east, west. How powerful God is through his word. It ministers to us. It blesses us. No, don't get ho-hum. Don't get, we've heard this over and over. Don't get, oh, there's got to be something more exciting than this. Because if you will get excited about the Word of God, and you will find somebody to teach and talk to, the Word can become exciting to them. Praise God. And the Lord will use you as you use the Word as a means to minister. To minister this fantastic message, this powerful message, because that's what the Lord desires to do. Amen. Let's stand. Now, as a weapon against false teaching, a weapon against false doctrine, a weapon against darkness and deception. Make sure you're not stabbing people. Peter tried to cut the ear, the head, actually. He got the ear. He was trying for the head. Poor Malchus. The Lord healed him on the spot. Praise God. I don't think he could get away from that. And that's the power that God wants to show of how he can put things back together, of how he can bring healing, of how he can demonstrate his power. Don't use the sword to try to cut somebody's head off. Use it against the devil who is trying to hamper, who is trying to deceive, trying to distract, and trying to destroy. That's what it comes down to, is we realize that it really is true. The wages of sin is death. We're trying to keep people from that. We're trying to steer them to the right payday, the right reward, eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Praise God. And it's the Word of God that brings the light. And you can share that word. Hallelujah. You thankful for the Word of God? Amen. You thankful for what it means to you? Oh, yeah. Praise God. Oh, there are many, many more. Even in our enlightened society, and there are so many churches, so many religious books, so many opportunities to know about the Lord and so on. There are more and more people checking out of that form of worship. They don't trust church anymore. They don't want to spend time in church. They want to be doing other things. And convinced they can worship out in the boat, the lake, the river, the ocean. They can see all the wonderful creation of God and worship him there. There's a lot of people grabbing hold of that concept now and living by it. And you need to take the word to them. Amen. Take the word of God to them. Praise God. Let's come and pray here for a few minutes as we consider how powerful the Word of the Lord is, and how awesome the Word of God has been in our lives, and how it has been fulfilled, and it has the promises have come to pass, and God has displayed His power on our behalf again and again. How many times in a critical situation, in a difficult time, has the Word of God ministered to you specifically in a verse that just, like there's a light shining on it, and God is showing you a passage of Scripture that lifts you up, that gives you encouragement, that gives you direction, and that gives you power. Praise God. What a privilege we have of knowing the Word of the Lord. What a privilege we have of sharing that Word. Amen. Let's ask the Lord to empower us. Let's ask the Lord to use us. Praise God. Not only to win in spiritual warfare with this weapon, but also to take it to a world that is lost, a world that needs to know these wonderful truths that we rejoice in every service. Amen. Let's ask the Lord to help us. Oh, Lord God.